is now a professor across town at USC at the School of Social Work. She works with homeless youth and with adults that are transitioning into permanent supported housing.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. So I'm, I think, stretching the bounds of what this session was originally about, but I'm very grateful that I was given the opportunity to talk about this topic and very excited to be here. So thank you all for listening. I'm going to talk about pet ownership among homeless youth and some associations with mental health, service utilization, and housing in this population. I have nothing to disclose. So it's estimated that about 2 million youth experience homelessness each year in the United States. I would suggest that this is probably a gross underestimate. Homeless youth are often a very invisible population, and we don't have great modes of counting them, but just to give you some sense of the scope of this problem. Homelessness is associated with huge increases in vulnerability, particularly for young people, physical and mental health risks associated with living on the street and with experiencing homelessness. And we know that pet ownership in non-homeless populations is associated with improved health and well-being, but there's really been limited research on homeless persons and how their pet ownership might improve their health and well-being. So some of the research that has been done among pets and homeless persons has shown that pet ownership in this population can be an additional barrier to service utilization among a population that already experiences a lot of barriers to service utilization. So having a pet may make it more difficult for them to use health services and housing services because they have no safe spot to leave their pet when they go into these locations. And because they don't have a safe place to leave their pets, being with their pets may take priority over their service utilization. And the reason they might make this choice is because pets provide a really important source of emotional support. We know this is true in non-homeless populations, and qualitative research with homeless persons has suggested that it's very true in homeless populations as well. Pets are important sources of friendship, companionship. They reduce loneliness and reduce social isolation. And also, in particular, for homeless persons, can provide an important source of protection if you're staying on the street. I am going to present data from an ongoing panel study of homeless youth that we've been implementing in Los Angeles. We are interviewing homeless youth using drop-in centers in Hollywood and Venice, California. And the two parts to the study, there's a self-interview portion where we ask questions about demographics and behavioral risk, and there's also a social network interview component to this study. All youth are paid $20 for participating. Pet ownership was not in any way an original aim of this study. The study is about social networks and HIV risk behavior among homeless youth using drop-in centers. But these pictures give you a sense of what we saw when we started doing this research with youth and going to these sites. And I think it's pretty obvious even here the connections that young people feel with their pets, and that prompted us to ask some additional questions about the experience of having a pet while being a young person on the streets in Los Angeles. So we created a series of questions about the dimensions of pet ownership in this population. We used literature, the small amount of previous literature in this area, and also our own experiences in the field with this population. And as I mentioned, this study also measured demographic characteristics, service utilization, mental health disorder symptoms, trauma and violence, and social network characteristics of homeless youth. So 23% of the youth who participated in our study reported that they currently had a pet. Of those, 53% reported they had a dog, 22% a cat. And some of the other types of pets people talked about were hamsters, rats, a chinchilla, fish. We never saw any fish when we were in the site, and iguana. So these are the dimensions that we assessed about pet ownership among youth, and these are ranked by the percentage of youth who reported that they agreed with this statement, and this is just among pet owners. So most youth reported that their pet keeps them company, makes them feel loved, helps them feel safe, gives them someone to love, protects them. 60% of youth reported that their pet ate before they did on the street. 50% reported that it made it harder for them to stay in a shelter. And then some of the other aspects we assessed were whether having a pet made it easier to ask for money, made it easier to make friends, how easy they felt it was for them to see a vet for pet care, whether strangers gave them a hard time for having a pet on the street, which anecdotally has been reported in other data, but only 23% of our youth reported that experience. Some youth said they preferred to hang out with people who have pets, and a few reported that it's more difficult to get housing, makes it harder to go to the doctor, but very few reported that it's hard to get pet food. And the drop-in centers where we were collecting data both provided pet food for youth who use services there. Some of the differences between youth with and without pets in our study is that female homeless youth were more likely to have pets than male youth, more likely to be white youth, more likely to be travelers, and that is a term that refers to youth who may travel from city to city with a group of other homeless people or on their own. There were no differences between pet owners and non-pet owners in terms of age, education, or sexual identity in this sample. So, as I mentioned a couple slides ago, nearly 50% of our youth reported that having a pet made it more difficult for them to stay in a shelter, and that was represented in other data that we collected, that pet owners were much less likely to have sought housing services in the past month, and they also were less likely to utilize help finding a job at the drop-in centers, which was interesting. Most pets reported this very the important aspects of companionship and a loving relationship with their pets. As I mentioned, most of them did not feel it was easy to see a vet, but it was pretty easy to get pet food. And about 50% felt it was easier to ask for money on the streets when they had a pet. We know that there is this somewhat intangible relationship of companionship and love with pets. And I wanted to see whether that was borne out in mental health symptoms among this population, and it really was. Pet owning homeless youth report less depression and less loneliness than non-pet owning homeless youth. So even on these symptomatic scales, it's clear that this relationship is very important for the mental well-being of homeless young people. Pet owners were less likely to be staying in a shelter or a transitional living facility. That really makes sense. But it's sad to see the numbers. Only 4% of pet-owning homeless youth reported they were currently staying in a shelter or transitional living versus 17% of homeless youth without pets who are staying in those locations. So where were the homeless youth staying who had pets? Most of them actually reported to be staying in the home of a family member, or staying in the home of a family member. 34% of homeless youth with pets versus 24% of those youth who didn't have pets. There were no differences in overall experiences of violence. So while youth may report that their pets protect them, there weren't objective differences in violence experiences. And we actually didn't find social network differences, which was interesting, because in other populations, in non-homeless populations, there certainly have been social network differences in terms of pet owners versus non-pet owners. So I advise everyone to take this part with a grain of salt. This is exploratory analyses. This is a very small sample. But I was very interested in the finding that homeless youth were staying with family members at a higher, homeless youth with pets were staying with family members at a higher rate than those without pets. Unfortunately, those pet-owning youth who were staying with family members were also much more likely, twice as likely, than non-pet-owning youth in the same housing situation to report that they'd experienced violence at home or that they'd seen violence at home. So this suggests to me that further research is definitely needed to examine whether homeless youth may be staying in unsafe and violent environments because they're allowed to keep their pets there as opposed to staying in a shelter. Some limitations I should suggest. This is the first study that we know of to examine pet ownership in a quantitative sample of homeless youth. It's not a representative sample. It's collected at drop-in centers, which means youth do need to be using services, and pet-owning homeless persons are less likely to be using services. So we may be missing a portion of this sample. This is also a cross-sectional study, so the relationships we're seeing between mental health and pet ownership are not necessarily causal, and longitudinal research would be needed to examine that association. I'd like to end by talking a little bit about ways that service provision for homeless persons can incorporate pets. Because we know this is such an important relationship in the lives of homeless young people, how can we make sure that they don't have to give up their pets in order to use services and in order to transition into housing? So at drop-in centers, I would encourage all drop-in centers for homeless persons to provide safe outdoor spaces for pets, to cultivate a welcome environment for pet owners, and to be aware of climate concerns. This isn't a huge deal for us in Los Angeles, but certainly in other locations, to recognize that pets need to be taken care of out of doors as well. Also, partnering with nonprofit animal care organizations. These pictures come from the Safe Place for Youth Drop-In Center in Venice, which partners with the Animal Wellness Foundation, and they provide free veterinary clinics for homeless youth to bring their pets to so that they can have vaccinations and other important care for pets. Shelters can also find ways to incorporate homeless persons' pets so that homeless persons do not have to decide between staying in a shelter or sleeping on the street so that they can keep their pet with them. Canadian shelters have shown that this can be a successful model by providing kennels, pet-friendly floors and rooms so that you can accommodate persons who may be fearful of pets or who have allergies, but also enable homeless persons to maintain this important relationship with pets. Beyond just shelters, we need long-term pet-friendly housing options. We know that for homeless adults, the best way to improve health and to improve long-term outcomes is permanent supportive housing. How can we incorporate pets in those environments? Because we know so many homeless persons have pets. Some of my references. Special thank you to all of the youth who shared their stories with us and participated in the study, the drop-in centers who really are so helpful for these youth and are so welcoming to their pets, and my wonderful research collaborators, Haley Weintraub, who is here, and Eric Rice, and thank you all for listening.